Well, I'm going to start off saying that exactly what Steve said, God's going to give me some words to say that I didn't have written down or planned. So I might as well just tell you up front. I rehearsed this sermon a couple times. It's gone anywhere from 25 to 30 minutes, and the longest was 3.5 hours. So I just wanted to warn you guys in advance that that's the direction we're heading here. Just kidding. Also, I got this neat little remote that I can control this screen with, so at any time I can end the sermon and you guys will be pleased. But that's not going to happen. Tonight, the title of the sermon was Let's Play Hide and Seek. So, let's play hide and seek. Raise your hand if you've ever played the game hide and seek. I better see everybody's hand go up, unless you're under the age of one and you can't physically do it by yourself. Okay. What's so fun about it? Why is this pretty much the first game that we learned to play with our friends? What's so fun about it? Hello? Okay. I need some volunteers. Let's play hide and seek. If you want to play hide and seek, stand up. I didn't say get out of your seat. I just said stand up. Come on. Who wants to play hide and seek? Stand up. All right. Now we got some volunteers. Okay. Out of the people standing up, raise your hand if you want to hide. Woo! Just what I thought. Only one person who wasn't standing didn't raise their hand. Okay, you guys can sit down. We're not playing hide and seek. That just proved the point. The point is, let's break down what hiding and seeking is and why everybody always chooses to hide, shall we? Let's break it down. Okay, first of all, the first item on the hide side is it's fun and effortless. It's lots of fun to hide, isn't it? It is lots of fun and it's effortless. Unless you pick this most congenial hiding place that you got to like work at to get in. It's pretty much effortless. So we like to hide. Number two, you do it by yourself. Now, you can hide with someone, but you're probably going to get found pretty quickly. So you normally hide by yourself. Okay? And the third, you think of yourself. You're only thinking of yourself during this game. You want to go hide, and you're thinking of yourself. You're not thinking of others. You're thinking of just you and how well you can hide yourself. So now, let's contrast that to the other side of seeking. Seeking, the first line item, is much effort. If you're playing with 10 or 12 people, not only do you have to find one person, you pretty much have to find all the people. So not only is all your effort into finding one person, but it's everybody. It's much effort. That's why we don't like to seek. Number two, we pretty much have to get help from others. There's always somebody that we can't find. And normally, if you play with a large group of people, as soon as you find somebody, they tag along and help you find others. And if you get a snitch on your hand, I know where so-and-so's hiding, let's go there. Okay, so you need help from others. And we as humans don't like to get help from others, do we, sometimes? Number three, you have to think of others. You have to think of the way others think. You have to sort of think, okay, if I was so-and-so, I'm going to be, he likes to climb, so I'm going to go check the nearest tree. Or it takes a little bit of thinking. You got to think of others to start seeking. So as you can see, as they're listed up, there's lots of contrast to we as humans as what we naturally like to do. And as you can see, we choose the fun side. We choose hiding. Now, we humans prefer to do things for ourselves, by ourselves, and with ourselves. To move that along further, we as Christians prefer to do things by ourselves, for ourselves, and with ourselves. Is that the correct way of thinking? Definitely is not. You bet it's not the right correct way of thinking. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to find the ways to change our way of thinking. We're going to learn what to seek for, and we're going to learn how to seek for it. So let's start. The scripture verse for tonight is Matthew 6:33, and as you can see, it's from the King James Version. I grew up learning this verse in the King James. I know we use the NIV here, but... And after reading that, that sort of reminds me of a song. But we're getting to that later in the service. We're going to sing that song. Okay? So let's read through it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Now, let's read it again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And there's a big hole there. That hole's there is because many of our Christians in our daily walk with Jesus, and I use that term loosely because some of us have a daily walk, some of us have a daily crawl with Jesus, and quite frankly, some of us have a passing hello with Jesus. Okay? But in our Christian walk with Jesus, we normally stop after reading that first phrase, don't we? We stop after saying, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. We as Christians have done the first part. That's how we became Christians in the first place. We sought and found the kingdom of God through the acceptance of Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We always seem to stop our walk there, don't we? We think that's it. Accepting Christ as our Savior is not the end. It's only the beginning. God has so much prepared for us to accomplish with the power of the Holy Spirit, but we need to turn over the reins to Him. Now, that's something we don't like to do, do we? We don't like people taking control of our lives. We're selfish. Becoming a Christian is the start of a journey that has no culmination until we pass on from this world and live eternally with Jesus. Don't you get it? We're not done. We're not done. God has so much more prepared for us to just stop here. We don't want to stop. God has so much more for us to do. Christians don't play hide and seek. Christians play seek and hide. Let me say that again. Christians play seek and hide. We seek the kingdom of God and then we start hiding. We start hiding because we become fearful, we become afraid, ashamed, nervous of not only speaking the word Jesus outside of our homes, but reading the Bible outside of our homes. Now, who puts that feeling inside of us? Is that the Holy Spirit? Oh no. Satan himself is influencing us to think that way. Now, don't get me wrong. Christians who just became Christians, born-again Christians, they're on fire for Jesus. They go through that state where they're just on fire, and sometimes that stage lasts longer than others, but eventually you come off of that cloud. You eventually decline back to where you were normally, to your natural state. That's what we want to prevent. God wants you to do what He has prepared for you to do. Now, after we do the initial seeking and find God's kingdom, we then start to hide, as I mentioned earlier. So, we adults are great at hiding. We start to hide in phases, sort of like children when they play hide and seek. For example, toddlers. Let's think about toddlers when they play the game of hide and seek. Get down to their level. And I've already gone through this twice with my two and eventually my third. You get down to their level and you say, "Honey, I'm going to close my eyes and count to 10. You go hide and I'm going to try to find you." They get this big smile on their face and you start counting. 1, 2, and then all of a sudden, here's what they do. Have you guys seen this? They think just because they don't see you, you don't see them. That's how they start hiding. And then we progress to early elementary. They actually try to get behind objects. They try to get behind a plant or a piece of furniture, but yet something's sticking out. Either the top of their head or their foot. So they're getting a little bit better in hiding. But we as adults, we know how to hide, don't we? We know how to hide. Spending 6 years as a youth leader in this church, one of the annual events that we did was the lock-in. For those of you who don't know what a lock-in is, you pretty much stay overnight at the church from like mid-evening to early morning. And we always set aside 2 hours and we played hide-and-go-seek in the church. All the lights are out and, of course, we quarantined off the sanctuary and other parts of the church where the kids weren't allowed. But the youth that were never found by their fellow youth were hidden by us youth leaders. Okay? The kids that were hid by the adults were never found because we know how to hide. We learn how to hide. We get better and better at hiding every day in our lives. So you see what I mean? If we get better and better at doing this, we need something to tear us apart from this normal way of life. So what's missing from this verse? And His righteousness. This is a key part of this verse. Now, I need a volunteer. A person who likes to talk, say words, Guys, if your wife fits into this category, feel free to volunteer her. No volunteers? Steve, come on up. Come on down. I feel like Richard Dawson in the Family Feud here. Here, let's step aside so people can see the screen. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up a word in its original Greek language from the original Greek translation from this verse, and I want Steve to pronounce the word for us. Ready? There you go. Actually, that's better than my first attempt. Now, I'm going to give you the transliterated word and see if you can do any better. How's that? That's about almost what it looks like. Now I'm really going to give you the cheat sheet, and I'm going to give you the phonetic spelling. There you go.
That's not even making it better.
Dikaiousune. Dikaiousune. Okay, you can please be seated. Everyone, applause for Steve. Thank you. Dikaiousune. That in the Greek, let's look at the actual definition. Definition, in a broad sense, state of him who is as he ought to be. Righteousness, the condition acceptable to God. Integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. That's the broad definition. The literal definition of that word translated from the Greek means garment or complete covering. When I looked at that, I'm like, okay, I'm trying to put two and two together here. It was sort of throwing me for a loop. And the Wonders for Cross-Reference Bibles giving you other verses to look at. Those are great, aren't they? So what I ended up doing is I went to other parts of the Bible to back up what that meant, garment or complete covering, to see where else this word was translated from the Greek. Let's take a look. Revelation 19:8. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. And who were the reference of the saints in the book of Revelation? The church, with a capital C. Us as believers, the church. Job 29:14. I put on righteousness as my clothing. That's interesting. Justice was my robe and my turban. Going on, Romans 13:14. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. That's the garment, the complete covering of Christ. We need to seek that. So, looking at that scripture as well as the broad definition, we're going to sum this up into a phrase that we've heard quite common. Christ-likeness. When we seek His righteousness, we seek Christ-likeness. We need to be in constant seeking of Christ-likeness. Becoming like Christ is in every aspect of our lives. Not just some, every aspect of our lives. Having Jesus be our garments, our complete covering, seeking His righteousness is what we need to do. So now that we know what to seek for, now we need to know how to seek for it. Seeking equals learning. Sorry to say, we always have to admit it. Sometimes we don't like to seek, but when we seek, we learn, don't we? We do. Now, there's a part of seeking that's actually thrilling. There's the, what am I going to find today? Or, what am I going to discover? Or, the things that I find, how can I use them for me? But then, on the other side of the coin, it's also quite frustrating. How come I haven't found anything yet? How come the things that I found, I can't use? How come I'm wasting my time searching and searching and searching? I could be spending my time doing other things. But seeking equals learning. God, when you earnestly seek the righteousness of Christ, no matter where the seeking takes you, God is going to reward you. If you're in your seeking process and you're at a point where you just think you're not making any progress, God's going to put someone or something in your life at that moment to give you that reinforcing word, to give you that encouraging word, to give you that feeling of accomplishment that you so desire to keep moving on. God is with you every step of the way. He will also keep your interest through the searching and seeking process. Plus, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is within you in the form of the Holy Spirit. That is, only if you hand the reins over to him, is what we said earlier. Let's take a look at what Dr. Charles Stanley, not the Charles Stanley from our church, although he is a wise man and I do look up to him. This is Dr. Charles Stanley that you can hear on Word FM. He says, when a person is saved, he or she is born into a new family in which God is the Father and other Christians are brothers and sisters. Through his guidance, our character, conversation, and conduct are reshaped to look like Jesus. The way we grow in Christ-likeness is by submission to the work of the Holy Spirit. The way we grow in Christ-likeness is by submission to the whole work of the Holy Spirit. When you seek, find, and apply different aspects of Christ, you will notice a difference within you, and more importantly, others will notice a difference within you. What's the difference between a flashlight and a lantern? What's the difference between a flashlight and a lantern? Batteries. They're both sources of light. A flashlight is directional. Only where you point the flashlight is there going to be light. A lantern is a 360-degree light. When we originally become Christians, and we're very in the infancy stages of our walk with Christ, we are flashlights, ladies and gentlemen. We are very directional with our light. Our goal is to become a lantern. We need to shine from all sides. What would happen if a lighthouse was directional? Wow, think of that. What happens in a dark room when there's a single lamp on and the lampshade on a lamp is directional? It's directing the light down. What happens when you start lifting that lampshade? The light starts filling the room. When we seek His righteousness, we slowly lift off our own lampshades. This process does not come naturally to us. It doesn't come quickly, and it certainly doesn't come without effort. And it is a learned process. Now, does anybody know what these are? Little pieces of fiberglass shaped like cylinders. These are called claves. Anybody ever hear claves? Okay. This piece of musical instrument is actually made to carry sound over quite long distances. It's very ear-piercing. Okay? But if you don't know how to use them, most people would grab these and start doing this. That's pretty annoying, isn't it? Okay, now I'm going to show you how claves should be used. Now, Jim, please turn off my mic. If you have sensitive ears, please cover them. Okay? This is what clave should sound like. It's a whole lot different than this. When we learn how to use what God wants us to have, when we maximize what something is to be used for, it's going to reach greater distances. It's going to be more valuable to you. Okay? We cannot just pick up things and use them without reading instructions. Think of Apple. Apple created this thing called the iPhone. Do you think Apple created the iPhone just for people to make phone calls? Some people use it for just that. What if someone handed you an iPhone without the instruction booklet and just said, here? Well, I think you need the instruction booklet just to make a phone on that darn, just to make a phone call. It's pretty complicated. You got all those apps, you got all these different menus, directories, settings, menus. I don't even know when to start. Just like when you have kids and you get this big set to put together and it comes with this white sheet of little papers called instructions. What do guys normally do with those? We're too cool to use those. We know how to put this thing together. There's no reason to look at those. But why do you need those? You need those to maximize what you're going to get out of that, whatever item that is. Ladies and gentlemen, God gave us the instructions on seeking His righteousness. Here's His instructions. Now, take it for granted. I'm in an office environment. Okay, I get detailed reports of some of my projects when they are completed. If I get a project that's 15 pages and it's full of text, I'm probably going to fall asleep reading it. But if I get a report that's broken down into charts and graphs and tables and little call-outs and just short paragraphs of text, I'm probably going to start reading it. It's going to draw my attention. Sorry to say, this isn't like that. We need to concentrate on God's Word and read it for what it is. Some of the supplements you can get have all those charts and stuff, but God's Word through the Holy Scripture is not set up that way. Now, seeking righteousness is a three-step process. Well, first, let's see what Scripture says about righteous or through righteousness. In Proverbs 21:21, he who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. Those are three pretty nice things to have. Proverbs 12:12, the wicked desire the plunder of evil men, but the root of the righteous flourishes. Not just lives, it flourishes. Proverbs 13:9, the light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. The lamp of the wicked isn't dim. It's snuffed out. There's no light at all. The light of the righteous shines brightly. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation, not just individuals. Nations are exalted through righteousness. 1 Samuel 26:23, the Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and faithfulness. The Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and faithfulness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We might become the righteousness of God himself. We need to seek his righteousness and cover ourselves with the garment of Christ's likeness. And like I said earlier, it's a three-step process. The first step is meditation. Meditation is simply not reading God's Word. Meditation is reading it, digging into it, concentrating on it, praying over it, using cross-reference scriptures to understand what God's Word is saying. That's meditation. You can't have any distractions in the room when you're meditating. Go to a solitude place. Meditate on God's Word. When you truly meditate on God's Word, what you normally say to yourself is, wow, I didn't know it meant that. Or, wow, that totally changed the way I looked at that. That's what the Holy Spirit is working within you when you meditate. Step number two, replication. Replication. Ever since I graduated college, I've worked in the office environment for 14 years. My first 11 years, I worked with two companies. They both used Microsoft Outlook. Loved Microsoft Outlook. I knew everything about it. I knew all the insides and outs, the shortcuts. Everybody would come to me when they had an Outlook question. I go to my new job 3 years ago, and they use this thing called Lotus Notes. Does anybody use Lotus Notes? Shelly, Bob, I pity you guys, man. I don't like it. I want my Outlook back. Anyway, Lotus Notes has this thing. When I first started there, a guy that I knew that worked at my new company, he said, hey, I sent you an email. Did you get it? I said, no. He said, okay. I said, he called me back 10 minutes later. He goes, do you have an answer to that question? I said, I didn't get your email. He says, oh, you have to replicate. I'm like, what's replicate? I don't know you need to do this. He says, oh, yeah, our corporate IT set it up is through Lotus Notes. It goes through a replication process. Every 15 minutes, it goes through and replicates whatever emails are stored under your name on the email server is forwarded to your email box at one time. That's weird. So that's replication. In our Christian walk, we need to replicate. Every 1 to 2 days max. Hourly would be great. 1 to 2 days max. If you go longer than a couple days and you come to church on Sunday, you leave. You come to church on Sunday, you leave. You come to church on Sunday, you leave. You know what I'm getting at. You're not progressing. You're not earnestly seeking. Step one, meditation. Step two, you need replication. Step three, you need dedication. If you don't have dedication, you might as well forget the first two. Don't even do the first two. You need dedication to continue to do this. You need meditation, replication, dedication, in order to successfully seek Christ and His righteousness. Remember, seeking is a never-ending process because no one is perfect except for God Himself. This process will not be completed until our passing from this earth and we start living with Jesus eternally. Henry T. Blackaby had a little, he took this to another level. So let's read what he had to say. When God saved you, He freed you from sin, but you remained a slave. Huh? Now, rather than being bound to sin, you are bound to righteousness. In every area of your life, you are obligated to do what honors God. I thought we were set free when we accepted God. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were set free. It says we are bound to righteousness. In every area of your life, you are obligated to do what honors God. In the first chapter of Romans, Paul realized this same concept when he began following Christ. He became a bondservant of Christ, and his life was no longer his own. Now, rather than being enslaved to sin, he was enslaved to God and His righteousness. And that begins in Romans 1:1. So let's think about this. What would have happened if the disciples stopped at the first part of that verse with finding God's kingdom? So let's think about that. The ascension where Jesus was ascending into heaven and He commissioned the disciples to go and disciple to the ends of the earth. What if they just said, wow, we got this nice feeling now. That was all cool. Let's just go back to our trade. We know where we're going. What would have happened? What about Saul on his way to Damascus when he had his conversion? Maybe now he's Paul and he could have walked, continued, and said, wow, that was a great experience. I mean, my life's changed. I'm going to still go do what I was doing. What would have happened if Paul didn't continue to seek Christ-likeness? What would have happened? We probably wouldn't have had most of the New Testament. Further, what about Martin Luther? Same thing. If he wouldn't have sought Christ-likeness to nail those theses onto the door of the Catholic Church, we wouldn't have what was called the Reformation. A.B. Simpson, what if he just stuck to doing some preaching on the side and whatnot? And we wouldn't be sitting here in a CMA church. We wouldn't have a denomination of Christ if A.B. Simpson didn't seek Christ-likeness. Well, we could probably live without some of his hymns. But most recently, what about Billy Graham? His ministry has touched millions and millions of people. Even though he's not preaching anymore, his ministry is. If he didn't constantly seek to be like Christ, to earnestly seek Him every day of his life, his ministry wouldn't be where it's at today. What would happen if Bob Bazalkowski earnestly seeks God's righteousness? What would happen if Steve Meyer earnestly seeks God's righteousness? We don't know. We don't know what God has in store for them or anybody here. Or we can put it the other way. What will not happen if Kevin Craycraft does not seek God's righteousness? We won't know that either. We just won't know. We have to earnestly pursue Christ's likeness. An unknown author stated this: no one can win a race with intermittent effort. Christ-likeness cannot be reached with that kind of effort either. It's an ongoing pursuit. It is an ongoing pursuit that we must do. There is a famous grave at the foot of the Alps. The epitaph of the individual states, "He died climbing." When God our Father calls us home, are we going to be climbing? Are we going to be seeking? Are we going to be coming closer and closer to be like Christ? I sure hope we are. I sure hope we are. So folks, let's stop playing hide and seek. Let's stop playing hide and seek. Let's stop hiding altogether. Let's start seeking. Let's start seeking. Jesus Christ came down from the earth, came down from heaven to earth as an example. God showed us a physical example of who to be. He died for us, covered our sins with His blood, but yet we have the right to call Him our Lord and Savior, but we don't want to put forth the effort to seek His righteousness. Let the others do the hiding. We need to do the seeking. We need to seek His righteousness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this time that we can be here, Father. We know that we as Christians and, Father, loved ones that have accepted Jesus, we know where we're going, Father. But sometimes we think that's it. We stop seeking. We stop becoming more and more like Jesus. Father, please continue to work with the Holy Spirit in our hearts that we may continue to seek, find, apply, and become more and more like Christ. Father, He was the perfect example, for He was part of You. He was You as flesh on this earth. Let us not take Him for granted. Let us not lead others into His kingdom without the full knowledge of us knowing that we are going to become more and more like Christ. Father, You have planned so much for us to do. We don't know the endless limits of what You have in store for us until we try. Father, continue to have us seek Christ-likeness. Father, we love You and we thank You for bringing us here. And as we leave here, I pray that You will change our hearts. I pray that You will change our way of thinking, that we may become more and more like You. Father, thank You for Your Son Jesus and Him dying on the cross for us. We just thank You for His sacrificial blood over our sins. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus, Your Son and our Savior. Amen.